We come to the reading of God's precious word once again this morning. And we turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 16. Let's follow God's word together, please. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. And we commence reading there because of time at verse number 16. And chapter 16, verse 16. Let's follow God's precious and God's holy word. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the surgeon, saying, "Let those men go." The keeper of the prison told the saying to Paul, and the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." The surgeons told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thee this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We humbly bow before thee. We ask of thee that thou will instruct us as we read thy word and give us guidance in our own lives. I being in the way that the Lord led me. Help us, our God, our Heavenly Father, to walk life like that, seeking thy face and knowing thy leading and thy guiding. We pray that thou will guide our young people in their exams, guide our young people in their schoolwork, guide our young people at university, our older people in their lives, whether it be in business or at home. Heavenly Father, each one of us today need guidance. And I pray that Thou will continue to guide us, and as we search the Scriptures, Lord, may our souls be blessed afresh for the glory of Thy great name. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In the 16th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we come to Paul as they go on their journey. It says in verse number 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there." Now, this is not the first time that Paul was at Derbe and Lystra. He had been there before. In actual fact, whenever he was there before at Lystra, the cripple from his mother's womb was healed. And, of course, we find that it was at Lystra that Paul was stoned because of his faithfully serving the Lord. In actual fact, they stoned Paul, and they left him as dead. They thought that he was dead, and the disciples gathered around him, and they took up Paul, and God wonderfully raised up Paul in their midst. You'll read that story in the 14th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. You know, you'll say, well, whenever Paul had faced stoning, and when he faced such opposition and such affliction for the cause of Christ, what would he want to go back again for? Why would he go back? But friend, he went back because the love of Christ constrained him to go back. He went back because he wanted to take the message of the gospel once again to this people. And so we find that he goes to Derbe and he goes to Lystra on this second missionary journey. They return to Lystra. In actual fact, when they got there, they found a wonderful young man. It was all of God. They found a young man with a great testimony. A young man that was serving the Lord there in Lystra. His name was Timothy. And whenever they got there, they found there was a young man that was, the Bible says there, was well reported of, verse number 2, by the brethren. You know, we find that he was faithful in his home church, amongst his own people, the home church. I read this week, a man who's not faithful and active in his home church will never be worth much in any other. And you know, it starts at home, as we said earlier on, even the verse we sang. Your testimony starts at home. And friend, God needs to give us a burden for the home service. You know, there are some that offer themselves for full-time service, and yet you couldn't get them to work on the home front or to serve the Lord at home. You know, if God calls you to serve Him in a foreign field, that's wonderful. But when that's the right time, whenever God calls you. But until God calls you to serve in a foreign field, friends, serve Him at home. Serve Him where you are. Let me tell you, what I'm talking about is serve the Lord in Macclesfield. This congregation, this people need people to serve the Lord in this very town. I believe that Paul chose Timothy to come with him because he was faithful. He was active at home, in his home church, amongst his home people, serving the Lord. There he had a testimony at home. Then, of course, we find that Paul and Silas, Timothy, they move off and they come to the region of Galatia. And the Holy Ghost, as we've said and we've looked at, the Holy Ghost forbid them there. And they sailed on and they came to Mysia and they essayed to go to Bithynia. And, of course, notice what it says. They essayed to go to Bithynia. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the Lord told them to do that. But they of themselves thought this was what God wanted them to do. They were wanting to serve the Lord. But the Holy Ghost told them not to go there. You know, it's amazing. It says there in verse number 6. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Let me tell you this, my friend. They could have gone to Asia and reached nobody. The amazing thing was this. They went to Philippi. The first person they had the joy of leading to Christ was a woman from Asia. You see, friend, when you go with God, when you obey God, when you do what God wants you to do, Paul was certainly in the way that the Lord led him. So Paul could have gone to Asia and reached nobody, but he obeyed the Lord and he reached a woman from Asia. It's good to listen to the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God. I read a story about a young woman who was called of God, and she was exercised about the mission field. She went to the mission board, and she was chosen by the mission board to go to the mission field. And so she went to her studies, and she studied for the mission field. She got everything ready. She was just about to go. She had got her ticket to go to the mission field. And just as she was about to leave to go to the mission field, she got a telegram. And the telegram told her that one of the western states of the United States, that her sister had died. And so she had to cancel her ticket. She went to her sister's home and she realized that her sister had four children. And there was nobody to raise them. And so therefore she felt that she had to raise these children because there was nobody to care for them. She was brokenhearted because she really had prepared herself for the mission field. She really wanted to go to the mission field. But my, here she was left with four children of her sister that had died. And so she raised those four children. Friend, let me tell you what happened in that home. She raised those four children, and one by one, those four children came to her and said, "Auntie, I feel God wants me to be a missionary." And friend, let me tell you this. Her missionary training wasn't lost, because she was able to guide those children in their youth, and she was able to teach them the Word of God, and she had a desire in her heart to teach them the gospel and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, one by one, friend, those children came and said, "Auntie, God wants me to be a missionary." Friend, listen. Four went in the place of one. You know why? Because she was willing to obey God. She was willing to go with God. And you see, when God says no, friend, that's exactly what we've got to be willing to do. But you know, when God said no to Paul, he didn't stop and he didn't just quit and he didn't get a huff on him. No, he was willing to seek the face of God and want God to show him. So it says in verse 8, they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. When they got there, God gave him a vision. And in that vision, he saw a man of Macedonia. And the man was crying out. And the man was saying, "Come over and help us." And whenever Paul waked out of his sleep, when that vision passed, friend, Paul knew that this was the will of God. And he wanted to go. God wanted them to go to Europe instead of to Asia. What Paul says, "Let's go. Let's go." He followed the word or the will of God immediately. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately, he didn't linger. He didn't say, "God, was Asia not as good as Europe?" No, it says immediately, we endeavored to go. And verse 11, they made a straight course. You see, friend, all that Paul wanted to know is what God wanted. And you notice he didn't make any other arrangements. He was going to a place he knew not of. Were there any believers there? Who was going to meet him? Listen, all he had was a vision. A man standing crying, "Come over and help us." He didn't know who the man was. But friend, let me tell you, he knew this was of God. And so he left all the details to the Lord to go before him. You notice what the man cried there? "Help us." They needed help. They needed help. They needed the gospel. They needed Christ. He was hungry for Christ. And friend, let me tell you, every day you and I come in contact with people who need help, who need the gospel. You remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Feed my sheep." He says, "Feed my lambs, Peter." Oh, that we would have a sensitive ear to hear the word of God. Listen, there are multitudes around us in Macra Felt, friend. It's not only in the foreign field. Yes, far, far away in nature's darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever will be lost. Who will go? Salvation story, tell them. But let me ask you, could God trust you to take them to Macra Felt? Could God trust you to take the gospel to Castle Dawson, to Tubber Moor, to Makara. If he couldn't trust you to take it to your home place, then how could God trust you to take it to far, far away? But Paul realized there were hungry souls. They were hungry for peace. They were hungry for pardon. They were hungry for the assurance of heaven. They were hungry for forgiveness. And they made a straight course to go. When they got there, as I said last Sunday morning, there was no meeting house. There was no synagogue. But you know, whenever it was the Lord's day, so what will they do? They sought out a place. Where did the Lord's people meet, or where did people gather to read the scriptures? And all it was a little gathering of women down by the riverside. Do you know when he arrived, friend? He didn't say, you know, Philippi is a very historical city. And you know, in Philippi, there's beautiful sights. And there's no place to go on the Lord's day, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go sightseeing. And I'll go to the historical places. No, no, it was the Lord's day. And he went down to the riverside. And there were a band of people gathered round the word of God. And there wasn't a man among them. And Paul preached unto them Christ. And there at that meeting, a woman's heart was opened, friend. A woman from Asia. You know, it's amazing. God does things his way for God to fulfill his plan. But the amazing thing was this, friend, that not only did God open this woman's heart, do you notice God opened this woman's home? Where were they going to stay? There was no synagogue. There were very few Jews there. There's just a handful of women down by the river said, where would they go? You know, God provided a home for them. And God opened that woman's heart there, down by the river. Look at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Praise God. Something wonderful happened that day. Do you notice what it says in the scripture? Don't pass over the words. Listen. It says this there, verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household. Her household. What does that mean? It means that not only did God save her, friend. Not only did God save her family. But God saved her servants too. Her whole household was one for Christ. God's working here. And so we find that here is a house where the name of the Lord is honored. Not only her family were saved, her household was saved. And God provided lodgings for God's servants. She says, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. You know, it wasn't, you know, sometimes you go in, I remember when I said to folks before, you know, when you go into a house and people say, would you like a cup of tea? To be honest, you're not sure whether they want to give you one or not. And quite often your answer was, oh yes, I'll take it. You know, maybe your tongue's hanging out. But you know, you're not sure whether there was nothing about it. Listen, it says she constrained us. She wasn't offering them and saying, I hope they say no. She says, abide with us.
You see this house? This is given over to God. I'm giving this over to the Lord. Because God has changed this home. And she constrained them. She constrained them. I remember reading about a little boy one day and mommy was putting him to bed. And as she was putting him to bed, you know, she was reading him the scriptures and she came to that little passage in John chapter 9. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Mommy had finished the reading of God's word. And she noticed the wee boy was greatly touched. And the wee boy's eyes just started to fill up when she read that wee verse. This is what he said, "Mommy, if I'd have been there, I would have given him my pillow." Simple, isn't it? The words of a little child, friend. But is your home and heart open for Jesus, friend? Have you an open heart? And an open home and an open hand for Jesus? There are some people, let me tell you, and they're miserable. Miserable. They're miserable in their hearts. They're miserable in their homes. They're miserable in their hands. You nearly have to prise it out of their hands because they're full of themselves. This woman, let me tell you, the Lord changed her life. And you know, it's amazing. It was there, at that home, after the little prayer meeting, God started his work in Europe. In a simple way. You see, little's much when God's in it. It's not the big things. Sometimes we're expecting these massive things. I remember a preacher one time, a Scottish preacher. And he came to the end of a year's work. And he was talking to the eldership about it and his heart was broken. He said to them these words, he said, "You know, we only had one person saved this year. And that was wee Bobby Moffat." Friends, let me tell you, Bobby Moffat became one of the greatest servants of God who led multitudes to Jesus Christ. It was their best harvest. You see, little's much when God's in it. And maybe there are people here in the work of God, and maybe you're downcast. You think there is nothing being done. Let me tell you, my friend, salvation is of the Lord. God is not expecting you to save somebody. God's expecting you to tell them. God's expecting you to be faithful. Sunday school teacher, God's expecting you to prepare your messages. God's expecting you to prepare for the Sabbath school. You can't see of the boys, but you can tell them. You can love them for Jesus. And be faithful to them. Yes, you must prepare. Make the preparation for the Lord's work. God doesn't want his people to be slovenly in his work. He wants you to prepare your heart. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what the preacher's task is to do as well. Thank God. God started a work that day down by the riverside. And God worked and swept through Europe. But as I said, you see, when the Lord's working, the devil's working. And notice what's happened in verse number 16. It came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showeth us the way of salvation." She was a fortune teller. There was a syndicate in this city.
This group of men got together and they used this woman's time and they used this woman's sinful talents. And so whenever Paul and the people of God, now God's working here, and they went to prayer. They went back to the place of prayer. They were seeking the face of God. They would gather around the Word of God. And there at that prayer meeting, God was there in their midst, but now the devil came. The devil resisted the work. The devil tried to stop the work. And how did he try to do it? Because of the sinful woman. And she tied herself on to the Paul. And to Silas. And to Timothy and to Luke. And she tied herself on to them. She cried out and the people were looking at her. You see, the devil was trying to associate God's child with evil. An evil woman. And whenever the people would see this evil woman there, and they knew exactly her trade, and you knew exactly she was a child of the devil. Let me say this, friend. It's hard to win somebody for Christ if you're associated with evil. You've got to be careful in your associations. And here was this girl, and she cries out after them. Now let me tell you, friend, what she was saying was true. They were the servants of the living God. They were showing them the way of salvation. What she was saying was true. But my, the old devil was trying to associate God's children with evil, in league with evil. And evil, the devil's crowd. You know, the Bible tells us, the same Father Paul, verse 17, cried, verse 18, this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Says Paul was grieved. To be honest, it means he was vexed. He was upset. He was annoyed. He was weary of the evil. He was upset with the disturbance. And so therefore he had to deal effectively with the problem. He couldn't allow it to continue. And so therefore, he commands in the name of Jesus. He says, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And friends, let me tell you, the devil can't withstand the command of Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee. And this evil spirit that was in this woman and bound this woman, whenever God's child said, I command thee in the name of Jesus, he wasn't making a suggestion. He was commanding. Why? Because he had authority in the name of Jesus. Thank God we are given authority in the name of Jesus. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he came out the same hour. But you see, our masters has lost now their best too. This woman's delivered. She's not going to continue the evil work. And so therefore, they realize that their gain's gone. And so they gathered, the Bible says in verse 19, they drew Paul and Silas into the marketplace and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They were troublemakers. You oppose sin, you'll be a troublemaker. This week in the House of Commons, I think it's tomorrow, they'll be seeking to take a vote on the Lord's Day as regards opening everything for the Olympics. And people say, that of course is, people's coming, thousands of people are coming from all the world and from all over the world, and so therefore really it doesn't matter. You should just allow that, realizing this is a special occasion for all these multitudes of people, and it comes to a Sunday, they will certainly need to go somewhere and shop somewhere. Then let me tell you, that's only the thin edge of the wedge. I believe with all my heart, if they get it through, and they will probably, tomorrow when the vote is taken, then the next step is that it continues. That's how the devil crowd works it. And whenever you vote against it or take a stand against it, you're called a bigot, you're called everything under the sun. And so they take God's servants here, and they catch them, they bring them into the marketplace, they bring accusations against them. And then they bring them before the magistrates, verse 22, and they take the clothes, rip the clothes off his back, and then they beat them. They can't lay stripes upon them, and they throw them into the inner prison. Then it says at verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now that's very understandable. Here's men that are thrown into the prison, and their feet are kept in the stocks, and they've been beaten, and may they pray. What it says at midnight is the deepest part of the night. Friend, in all of our lives, we've all had our midnights. Midnights of sickness. Midnights of sorrow. Midnights of trouble. Midnights of trial. Midnights of tribulation. We've not only had them ourselves, we've shared them with others. They prayed. I said, in the Bible class this morning, sometimes it takes that to drive us to pray. Sometimes it takes trouble to drive a person to their knees. Sometimes it takes sorrow or sickness to drive people to their knees to realize that they of themselves are not self-sufficient. I need the Lord. They cry out to God. It's understandable. At midnight they pray it. But friend, notice the next part. At midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God. That's not natural. They're sore. They're beaten. They're wounded. They're hurt. Their feet are in stocks. As it says, they sang praises. Listen, it's not easy to do that. And yet the psalmist says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why were they able to sing in the midst of their affliction? Because, listen, they knew that they were in the center of the will of God. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if they had disobeyed the leading of the Spirit of God, friend, and went the other way instead of going to Philippi? And then whenever they had faced problems and difficulties, which all men face, to realize I am in this situation because I'm outside the will of God. I went my way instead of God's way. They were able to sing praises to God because they knew that they were in the center of the will of God. Do you? They knew that not only were they in the center of the will of God, they knew that the Lord was with them. God promises to be with His children, even in the midst of the darkest situation, friend. Let me tell you, there is never an hour, there is never a moment, but God is with His children. For He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, not for a moment. When he said never, he meant it.
they knew that God was with them. And friend, they knew something else. Their joy was not in their circumstances. Their joy was in the Lord. Fanny Crosby, who wrote us many, many wonderful hymns, friend, a fever a few months after she was born, left Fanny Crosby blind. Now, she wasn't born blind. But a fever after, a few months after she was born, left her blind. And she had the loss of physical sight. And she moved around in the darkness. And this is what she said this. Fanny Crosby said, she testified, that the loss of physical sight, moving around in the darkness, she says, God turned a light on in my soul. Friend, she didn't bemoan the darkness or the blindness. She didn't live her life in bitterness against God. God, why did you allow that to happen to me? And lift her fist in the face of God and rebel against the God who is sovereign in all things. And Fanny Crosby wrote those words, Jesus, keep me near the cross. They're a precious fountain. Free to all a healing stream. Flows from Calvary's mind. She wrote the words of blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Do you know what Fanny Crosby learned to do, friend? She learned to sing in the darkness. And I pray that God will give you and me grace in days when darkness is upon us, friend. God will give us grace to sing in the darkness, because our joy is in the Lord, not in our circumstances. You know, it's easy to bless the Lord when things are going easy. Yet the tragedy is this, friend. Quite often when things are going easy, we forget the Lord. But the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And friend, the reality was this. Through faith, they escaped within the prison, not out of the prison, but even in the midst of the prison. They had a song of a soul set free. Is that you and me? Rejoice in the Lord always. I know time's away. We better finish here. Listen. But friends, let me tell you, when they got the song in their hearts, this is what it says in verse 25. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. Thank God to touch others. And I'll tell you, a child of God who rejoices in the Lord will touch others. A child of God who even is walking through the darkness, and yet they are showing the serenity of trusting the Lord, having faith in the Lord, standing up like Paul. What a testimony! When Paul stood up in that boat and the old boat was being tossed upon the waves, and was about to be torn apart. And it was. In a moment or two it was. But he was in touch with God. And God says, Paul, I've given you every man in the boat. Not one of their lives will be lost. I've given you every one of them. They'll all get safe to land. And when all hope was lost, Paul stood up in that boat and he says this. Men and brethren. You know, God told me. God told me he's given you everyone. He's given me every one of you. Remember, he was the prisoner. He says, God told me he's given everyone. See you, Jared? God's told me he's given me. You're going to go safe to land. And then Paul said three words. Or rather, four. Four words. But I believe God. But I believe God. Then the old boat fell apart. Torn apart. But everyone got safe to land. Do you believe the Lord today? Listen. Do you believe that God's working all things together for good in your life? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that God's sovereign today, even in the midst of your sorrow, problems, difficulties? Can you stand up before God and say, Lord, I don't understand everything that's going on, but I believe you. I trust you. And the prisoners heard them. Oh, that the world would hear God's people singing instead of the world seeing God's people sour. And the prisoners heard them. And God was about to lead them to the man. An old jailer. Do you remember what the man was crying? Come over and help us. And you see when that old jailer come out and he was about to kill himself. Boys, he needed help. And thank God there was God's man there to tell him. Christ's the answer. And he still is. And if you're not saved this morning, listen, Christ's the only answer. You need to be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank thee and I praise thee this morning for thy goodness to each one of us since last we met in God's house. Thank you for sparing us another week. Thank you for the mercies given. Thank you for the grace given. Thank you, Lord, for thy preserving and protecting hand. And even, Lord, when our feet well nigh slip, we thank thee that thou didst hold us up. We thank thee for thy promises as said, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee. And I confess that we, thy children, need that. We need them all. Lord, strengthen us. For whatever lies before us, strengthen us. For whatever lies before us, please help us. Lord, whatever lies before us this week, please, Lord, hold us. And for those who are not saved this morning, no anchor, no hope. Please, Lord, save them. Those that have wandered, bring the wanderer home. In Jesus' name.